from Mark chapter 7. It's also on your bulletins, or you could whip out your Bible app or your Bible itself. But I'll read the part. And we're going to start from verse 6. And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold the tradition of men." And Pastor Chris will give the sermon today.
Cool. Thank you, Jason.
No problem.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to borrow your stand, Dan. All right, good morning. Can you respond with morning? Yes, thank you. It is great, as always, to have you guys here worshiping with us this morning. And again, like Jason said, it is a Memorial Day weekend, and so happy Memorial Day to you guys. And, you know, I think it's a good time as well every time we you know, come to these holidays to, again, be reminded of why we celebrate them. And so hopefully, you know, we would be reminded of the military men and women who are serving and have served our country to protect us, their dedication to us and this country. We also, I think it's a good to again, be reminded of just how fortunate we are here in the States. There's a lot of things that aren't great, but we do have religious freedom, right? We can be able to worship here openly and freely, and really don't have the threat of danger. I know if you guys have just kind of heard in the past couple days, there was an attack in Egypt. There's a bus that was, so pray for Christians around the world. If you guys haven't heard, there's like a bus in Egypt that got attacked, and a bunch of Christians were killed because of their faith. And I hope that, you know, again, we'd be reminded of those around the world who are suffering, and especially the Christians out there who are being persecuted, to pray for them. And again, for us to be very thankful, again, that we have this place, that we can come and be, you know, be able to worship, you know, God freely and openly. And so we are, in the book of Mark. We have been kind of going through it chapter by chapter, section by section, verse by verse. And it's been really good for me. I really enjoyed doing this, because we see the full picture of, you know, of what is going on. And a lot of times, you know, as we read the Bible, we kind of, you know, high verses here, red verses there. But to be able to read it as a whole, it's good, right? It's good to see just the story of Jesus and his ministry. This last week, Pastor Tim preached about how sometimes God will nudge us, and hopefully, you know, that we would be able to respond to that nudge. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't like it when God kind of pushes us to do something differently. But it's a good thing. It's for us to grow in our faith, sometimes to challenge us. And he also, you know, encouraged you to think about, you know, as leaders of the church, sometimes we are asked to, or called by God to nudge you guys as well. And so hopefully, you know, that you would heed our, as the leadership of this church, you know, just whatever kind of nudging, that we would nudge you in the right direction, and you guys would, you know, work with us and serve alongside us as we try to build up, you know, our church and build up, you know, God's people. And so so that's where we were last week. And we are, as Jason read, we're in Mark chapter 7 this morning. So again, if you guys have your Bibles and all that good stuff, you guys can open up there. But let's do, before we do that, let's pray, and then we'll get into the sermon. Let's pray. Father God, we do want to thank you again just for your many blessings on us. And we thank you for, again, this country that we live in, and a place where we can just come and worship you openly and freely. And we do just pray, especially for those Christians around the world who are being persecuted. We pray that you would bring comfort to those who's lost, you know, lives of family members and stuff like that. And we pray that you just continue to strengthen them, strengthen their family, and that you would continue just to live for you boldly, even though they're in the middle of persecution. And we pray for ourselves as well here, that, you know, we're comfortable, we have this religious freedom, but we would also be bold in our faith, and that we would be bold in going and sharing God's love, your love, with around us. And so we pray that you would use us in that way. We pray for this, your word as well, that you, again, speak to us, that you remind us of your truths, your message that you want us to hear this morning. So open our hearts to that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to start, excuse me, by giving you guys a chance to talk to one another. I'll start off with just kind of a easy, maybe easy, question about tradition. Okay, I don't know about you guys, if your family has any specific traditions that you guys do every year, something that you always have to go to, a place that you do, maybe a restaurant that you always meet up for a certain time, or whatever it is. Do you guys have any traditions in your family? All right, so go ahead and turn to a neighbor, turn to somebody you know around you, sitting around you, give you guys a minute or so to talk about some traditions that you guys have. All right, go for it. Couple more seconds. Switch if you guys haven't switched so the other person can talk. Other people can talk, can share. All right, let's all come back kind of together and want to hear from you guys, do a little response for you guys. So anybody want to share one tradition that your family does? Anybody want to share a tradition that your family does? Anybody? Sure, Stephanie, one thing.
I'd say it's like usually a tradition in my family. We usually have if one of my parents, they have birthdays, we usually have a dinner.
Okay, cool. Dinner. Sounds good. Birthday dinner. All right, good. Others? Anybody else have a good tradition? I'll just give you guys. Anybody in this section want to share one or two people a tradition? Make it a little easier. Come on. We don't have that much time. Somebody can share somebody else's tradition.
Our family always gets together for Thanksgiving because a lot of times in the past 10 years we're all in different places, so Thanksgiving was the one time of year where we'd all come back here.
All right, Thanksgiving time at the Says. All right, very good. Somebody else, maybe in the back? Oh, sure. Okay. Mint chocolate ice cream, specifically mint chocolate ice cream for birthdays. All right, very good. That's a good tradition. All right, so Alex's family. All right, really good. In this middle section, some of you youth folks, anything your family does tradition-wise? One guy, one girl, one girl. Give me somebody. Tradition your family does?
Sarah?
All right, Sarah. What do you guys do?
Thanksgiving dinners.
Thanksgiving dinners. All right, yes. Yeah, they get together, they have a big feast every year. Anybody else? A guy? One of you guys? Any traditions you guys have? Your family does? Anything? Connor? No? Alright, I'll move on. Alright, how about you guys? Anybody in this section? Traditions? Any traditions? Besides Thanksgiving get-togethers? No? Alright, okay, that's fine. All right, so I don't know if you guys have any traditions. My family, growing up, so this is me as a kid, one of the families we did was that we would always go to Disneyland once over the summer. And I grew up here, up in the Bay Area, and so Disneyland wasn't close by. You know, it's 7 hours away or so, 6, 7 hours away. And it was a treat for us to go to Disneyland. But every year, over the summer, this is in my elementary school age, my parents, this is what we did. My parents would wake our family up at 3 a.m. in the morning, we'll pile into the car, and my dad would drive us down to Disneyland. When we got there, like 7 hours later, the park would just open, and then, you know, so we'd sleep in the car, us kids. We'd wake up, and we'd be at Disneyland. Isn't that great? And then we could play for the whole day, and then we'd just play I don't know how my dad did it, or my parents did it, because, yeah, he was up at 3 a.m. driving our family and then spent a whole day, like, at the park with us, you know, riding on rides and stuff like that. I did, like, a half-day trip once, and I was, like, tired, you know, just, like, it was, like, an hour away to, like, whatever. Anyways, but that was one of the traditions we had, and we looked forward to that every year. It's something, you know, we'd kind of anticipate and we know. Other kind of little things that our family, my side of the family does, we have more, I guess, traditions. Like, over Christmas, my mom really likes to sing Christmas carols, and so when we get together, she'll, like, have us sing Christmas carols. And then, like, for birthdays, you know, we sing the happy birthday, but my mom will always add the may God bless you, like, second verse after the happy birthday. So there's little things that, you know, they try, my family does. For May and I, we don't really have any specific traditions. We do try to get together with family once a year, but nothing very specific. Not like we have to do this or go to a certain place. Some people are like that, though, right? Some people have certain traditions that they have to do every year. You know, this is a must. You know, it's like law. If you don't do it, then it's like something's wrong, you know. And every year, every time, they have to go to a certain place, eat a certain thing, or go to certain things, do certain things. Traditions are great. I think they're wonderful. And, you know, as I've talked to May, we're like, yeah, we don't have any traditions. We should, you know, start some family traditions and see what we can do to, you know, have something to look forward to and anticipate and as a family kind of, you know, do together. Family meals, maybe, you know, dinner together. But anyways, traditions are really good. Okay, they're great to have. It is good to have those things. But what happens when sometimes people get so stuck on these traditions that, you know, they turn into law and they're kind of too rigid or too stubborn to change? And we kind of see a little bit of that in today's passage, and we'll talk about it, explain it a little bit more. So again, we're in Mark chapter 7, and I just asked Jason to read a portion of it. And so we're going to start from the beginning. We're going to kind of walk through it verse by verse. So again, here we go. Verse 7, you guys can follow along in your Bibles, bulletins, Bible apps. Mark 7:1. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they washed their hands properly, holding to the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked them, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" So, again, background. Jesus is doing his ministry. He's going about kind of, you know, teaching and doing all these things, doing some cool miracles, healing people and all that stuff. And every once in a while, again, he kind of butts heads with these Pharisees and these scribes. And we see them here kind of pop up again. And they're always out to kind of look for trouble. Seems like it, right? They're always trying to try to see if they can catch Jesus in some sort of a hard theological truth or something. And they keep trying to, like, trip him up to show that he is, you know, not perfect, and, you know, that what he's doing is wrong, that he's not really the Son of God. They don't believe that he is the Son of God, right? They don't believe it. And so here they are, they show up again, Pharisees and scribes, and they call out Jesus and they're like, "Why don't your disciples eat, or are their disciples eating with unwashed hands or unclean hands?" Now, for us, we think about eating, you know, and eating with hands, and it's a common thing for us, and I teach JJ, right, before you eat, you know, you wash your hands, right? It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to wash your hands, and we think about if we have dirty hands, right? We don't want to eat with dirty hands, right? So isn't the Pharisees, what they're saying, is this a good thing, right? Aren't they saying, hey, you know, you guys are being unclean, like why are you guys eating with unclean hands? That's not sanitary. But that's not really what they were saying, okay? This wasn't really the case. What is going on here is that the Pharisees and the scribes, whenever they go out into the marketplace, as we see in this verse, they feel like they have been dirtied because they have interacted with Gentiles who are not Christians, they're not Jews, right? And so when they interact with them and they kind of, you know, maybe touch the things that they touch or whatever, then all of a sudden they're dirty because they, you know, have interacted with non-Jews. That was their mindset back then, okay? And so they would have to go through a certain ritual to cleanse themselves. So it wasn't just about washing their hands, okay? Like, you know, disciples probably washed their hands. But it was that they didn't do this specific way of washing. Okay, so I kind of looked it up and about like ceremonial hand washing, and there's a very specific way that you do it. You have to take a jug of water and you pour it over your right hand first twice. So you wash your right hand first twice, and you wash your left hand next twice, and then you know you have to make sure that you know your hands don't touch each other as they're one's clean and one's unclean and stuff like that. And then you know you do this process. Okay. And not only that, but, you know, in the kind of parentheses in the verse, we say that they also do it for other things, like the cups and pots and pans and everything. So they have this certain rule, this tradition that they do. And a lot of this was pulled from Leviticus. So it is from the Bible. It is from the law. You know, but they practiced these things. It's good to be cleanly. But what they have done is they've taken these things and they've kind of elevated it so high and they've become so rigid and say, look, you have to do a certain way in order to be quote-unquote clean, okay? And so again, it wasn't that the disciples had dirty hands and were just like, you know, they're just playing in the mud and then on that, they just go eat and their hands are dirty, okay? That wasn't the case, okay? Most likely they did wash their hands, but they didn't do it the way that the Pharisees were expecting them to you know, wash their hands, okay? So that was kind of the case. That was the issue. So they brought this up to Jesus. Now, this was Jesus' response. He says this. Okay, and we read these verses. He said, and he said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain they do worship me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men. And so here, Jesus kind of calls them out, and there are two things that I kind of see him pointing to. The first thing that he kind of calls out is for these Pharisees is that you guys are hypocrites. Okay, you say one thing, you act a certain way, maybe like again preaching peace and preaching goodness and looking certain, but what's really inside of your heart, and this picture is kind of like a snake, right? Like they're lying, they're venomous or whatever, right? It's not truth, right? Their hearts are far away. They act a certain way. They pretend to be a Christian or they pretend to be a follower of God and try to be holy, but you know they're really not. And we see this in other accounts in the Bible in Jesus' interactions. Kind of two kind of famous accounts. One is when the Pharisees pray, right, and they kind of pray on the street corners, and they pray, and they pray these long prayer, and they pray about how, oh, thankful that they're not, you know, these sinners, and they're so righteous, and, you know, they pray these long prayers, but really, again, their hearts, it's all a show, right, it's just to show off this how holy they are. The longer the prayers, the more big Christian words they use, whatever it is, right, then that makes them more holy. But again, that's not, you know, It was just a show. Another kind of example is that of when the Pharisees gave the tax collector, where they, you know, give and they give like, you know, kind of this idea of like, oh, lavish giving, but you know, a poor beggar gives only two coins. And the idea again, like, hey, you know, they can show off how much they can give to God or whatever, but their hearts are far away. And kind of the first thing that we kind of look at here is Jesus kind of points to this is the big issue is God is looking at people's hearts. Right, people look at where is their motivation, right? Why are they doing what they're doing? Are they hypocrites? Are they really following after God? And we'll talk about this more. He comes back to it at the end, but I do want us to think about this now as well. Like, for you guys as Christians, you know, there's a lot of things that we, you know, encourage you guys to do as a pastor. We challenge you guys to do certain things, and you know, there's books about, like, you know, being, you know, having good habits, you know, seven spiritual habits and stuff like that. And we have these things that we challenge you guys to do, and we hope you take it to heart. But again, why do we do that? Right? Why do we do these things? Why do you guys, you know, serve? For those of you guys who, you know, help out with the children's ministry, you know. Do you guys really serve because, you know, you want to help these kids grow in their faith and, you know, love them? Or is it just because, oh, there's a need and I just have to do it because my parents asked me, or, you know, Shirley asked me, and so, you know, I don't want to say no, so I'm just going to help. why is your help? You know, where is your heart at? You know, for those of you guys helping out with VBS, going on Taiwan missions, same thing. Like, you know, why are you guys really going, right? And we want to kind of dig down to the heart of it, and hopefully it's, again, I want to tell people about God. You know, they need to know, you know, and I want to go and tell them. It's not just for fun, although that is part of it, and that's fine, right? But, yeah, why is it the real kind of your heart motivations, right? Why do you serve, you know, on praise band or worship team? Why do you serve, you know, teaching Sunday school classes or whatever it is? Why do you do these things, right? Is it a show? Is it to show off how holy and spiritual you are? Is it just because it's a need and it needs to be plugged in and I just do it because? Or are we really, you know, serving God? Right? Is our heart really chasing after God and serving God? And so that's kind of the first thing that Jesus kind of points to is, you know, for us as believers, right, hopefully we aren't being hypocrites, right? That even though we might do these nice Christian things and, you know, holy things, you guys do your stuff, but, you know, is it real? Is it really coming from your heart? Or is it just a show? Is it just an act? Is it just something we do? All right, so hopefully that would be true, that we would really be serving out of, you know, our heart to love God. The second thing that he kind of points to is this idea of tradition, right? And it's like, but it's tradition. Like, you know, it's something that we do every year. It's something we have to do because, again, we hold on to this thing. We kind of lift it up and it becomes so, you know, holy, right? And, you know, the problem with that, again, traditions are great. They're good. But what can happen is people can be so stubborn that they don't want to change. And it must be a certain way, or we have to do this, because if not, then, you know, I don't know, the world's going to fall apart. And I think for the most part, Canaan, our church, is pretty good. We don't have any, like, super, super traditions that we, like, have to do every year. You know, we mix things up. Like, retreat used to be joint, you know, and then in the past couple years, you know, oh, it's okay to have not a joint retreat, but, you know, each service kind of do their own retreats. And even our, like, the baptisms and communion stuff has kind of shifted a little bit. It used to be like a full service, and we actually kind of cut it down to just make it so that we focus on, you know, the baptisms and the communions. There's no, like, message or anything like that. And, you know, people are actually kind of flexible about that. Our worship services here at EM, we've actually tried to switch things up before, and one time we had, like, a quote-unquote reverse service, where we did, like, the announcements first, and then one song, and then, you know, offering, and then the message, and then we kind of closed it, like, a longer set, you know, like, we kind of did a reverse, you know, where we switched it up, you know, and, like, and for my preaching and stuff like that, like, I've been able to do, like, a first-person narrative. I did that once, where I, like, you know, pretended to be, like, one of the characters in the Bible, not a traditional kind of message thing. So I think our church is pretty good. They're pretty okay with, you know, not having certain things set. You know, it has to be a certain way. There are a lot of churches, I think, who, you know, it has to be the way. And if it's like, oh, you know, if you see, you have to sing these certain songs. But it is. We're pretty good. There was one thing that I think that came to my mind was, all right, this is for many, many, many years. Our time, like, working with EF, this is their logo, their updated logo. This group, and did it for, it became, in a sense, kind of like we have to do it every year. And this was maybe 2 years ago. We had a shortage of leaders. Somebody could actually lead the team. People were busy, or, you know, people couldn't do it. And I actually adjusted. I was like, well, why don't we, you know, this year, let's not send a team to Taiwan. Let's do something else. And the response, no, we have to send a team to Taiwan. You know, this is like, we have to do this. And I was like, oh, okay, this kind of a cow for Canaan, that, you know, we have to send a team to Taiwan. And so, again, this year we're not working with AEF, but there's a team going, and it's good. Again, I love it. I was a part of many teams, and going to Taiwan missions is great. You have a great experience, and I know I'm excited about the team going. But again, you know, are there certain things that we kind of get stuck on, that we're just so rigid and we can't, you know, change because it's something we've done all the time? All right, so something for us to kind of think about. Maybe I think one of the things that happens is it's not these traditions. They come from a good place, right? And for the Pharisees, again, a lot of what they've done come from a good place. And it comes from law, and they kind of take these all things, right, these things that they have to do, and they raise it up, they kind of lifted up that standard, and all has to be a certain way. And I think for us, maybe a little personal, one of the things I was just thinking about was praying before meals. So again, we teach a day to pray before or meals and stuff like that, and our very super simple prayer that we pray every time is, Dear God, thank you for the food, may you bless it, and in Jesus we pray, amen. That's our little prayer, and so he kind of knows it, he'll repeat it with us when we eat and stuff like that. But so often, again, we can take even something as, again, it's good, right, to pray, but we can make it so like, oh, we must pray before we eat. Now, why do we pray? But the bigger question is, why do we pray, right, before we eat? It's not so that, God will bless it, or even though that's, but some of us are thankfulness, right, that God, you have provided for us, right, you are the great provider. We thank you because, this is from you, and our hearts, know that this is from you, so we thank you for it. But oftentimes, I don't know, we get into just like, oh, we have to pray, and like, if we don't do it, then it's really weird. Kind of a side note, I sometimes chuck myself, like, because I always, say, Dear God, I pray that you bless this food, that would be good to our bodies. And sometimes when I'm eating like a Big Mac or something that's unhealthy, and I'm like, God, may you bless it, and they're good to my body, and I laugh at myself, like, yeah. Like, now God's going to like make it so that, oh, yeah, all of a sudden it's like, super healthy, yay! That's not, again, we're not praying, right, to ask God to do these things. But it's, again, thankfulness is out of a heart that, hey, this is from you. This is why we do these things. So kind of the same thing. I think for us, we can take a lot of these, good spiritual things that we do, and we can turn them around and kind of make them into, something bigger than it really is. Again, kind of reference, last week, we had a bunch of our youth students, they did the 30-hour famine. This is our group that did the 30-hour famine. They fasted for 30 hours, did not eat for 30 hours. And it was a struggle for a lot of them, for a lot of us. But they did it, and it was really good. But it was, again, for us to think about food, right, and think about how we are so blessed here. We have so much. And we experienced hunger for, 30 hours. But there are kids around the world who, this is their reality. Every day they have that hunger, right, for food, and they can't get it filled. And how lucky we are, right? And so again, for us to think about even that, when we pray, why? Because we're so thankful, right, that we have a lot. So hopefully for you guys, as you guys kind of live out your everyday life, that these traditions and these good things, these are good things, right? But we don't turn them into like gods, and we kind of make it so that it has to be a certain way. I hope that it also kind of in our mindset that a lot of these like devotions and coming and to church on Sundays and Fridays and wherever it is, your small group times, that they don't become just a checklist, right? It's just like, okay, I have to do these things, and then that's just that. I just check them off, and once I've done those things, then I'm good, right? God or Jesus is pulling back and kind of, again, digging deeper. Where is their heart attitude? Right? Where is that from, right? That is what he's getting at. Jesus continues on, and this is another thing that he points to. He says here in verse 9 and 10, he says, and then he said to them, so he adds on, he says, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. And going on, but you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained is from me is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your traditions that you have handed down, and many such things you do. So, here Jesus kind of points to another thing that the Pharisees are doing, and he points to the Ten Commandments, right? And you guys know, honor your father and mother, this is part of the Ten Commandments, something, a law, right, that God wants believers to do. And he says, the Pharisees, you guys know this. You know what you're supposed to do is honor your father and mother. However, what does that really mean? What does that really look like? And a part of it that Jesus is saying is, part of honoring your father and mother means actually caring for them when they need it. whether that's financially, whether maybe when they get older, is actually kind of, you know, provide for them, to care for them, to protect them, watch over them, whatever it is. That's kind of this honor that Jesus is talking about. It's not just, I listen to them, I respect them, that's part of it, you know, and that's what we teach children to do. But as, you know, you guys get older, and for us who are, you know, have, you know, jobs and our, you know, income and stuff like that, if our parents are in need, you know, a part of honoring them is actually, you know, taking care of them and providing for them and helping them. But what the Pharisees have done is they have kind of twisted on this, and they said, okay, well, they have this quote, it is Corban. It is Corban. And what does that mean? The parentheses from the ESV says, from it is for God, that is given to God. The NIV, I like their translation, which says that it is dedicated to God. Okay, so what they have done is this, okay, is they have said in their mind, okay, I know that I am supposed to provide, maybe financially, let's give that example, financially for my parents. However, I don't really want to. I want to keep this for myself. So how can I make it so that I don't have to give this money to my parents? And he says that they have come up with this, which says that this money, I'm dedicating this money to God. So I can't give it to my parents, sorry, right? Or I know I'm supposed to help my neighbor because they're needy, they're hungry, but this food is dedicated to God. Sorry, it's Corban, so I can't give it to them. And in reality, they don't want to give. They're just trying to, you know, they came up, in a sense, they came up with a loophole. They came up with a way to kind of, you know, twist it a little bit so that they could keep the money for themselves. I love Calvin Hobbes. He says, explain Newton's first law of motion in your own words. Ah, yes, yoga, food, I love loopholes, right? It's great. He answered the question. But in a sense, that is what they're doing, and they do this a lot, is they take kind of God's laws and stuff like that, and they try to find kind of different ways to make it beneficial for themselves, right? So they try to do it for themselves. So for them, their way of not, you know, honoring their parents is by saying, oh, this is for God. But it really wasn't. They're really just keeping it for themselves and not, you know, giving it to their parents. And so what they have done, in a sense, is they're coming up with excuses to do what's comfortable for them and not as what is comfortable, you know, and not do what is not comfortable. And so for a lot of times, I think for ourselves, that is something we can possibly do as well. And I think the heart of it, again, kind of digging down a little deeper, is where's, you know, what is our excuse? Sometimes we make all these excuses because we don't want to serve God, or we won't want to do a certain thing, right? And so we come up with these excuses. And Pastor Tim kind of mentioned some of these last week too, I think, about like, oh, you know, we're busy, and I understand we are all busy, but a lot of times, you know, we can make it so that, oh, yeah, I'm so busy, I can't, you know, do X, Y, and Z for God. Or, sorry, I'm not talented enough, I can't do X, Y, and Z. Or I'm not, you know, whatever, and I can't. And we make up kind of these excuses that might sound good, might sound worthy and quote-unquote holy, but they're not really, again, the heart of it is wrong, right? They're not really, they're just trying to find ways out from not following God, dedicating to God as best as they can, right? Sorry, I can't tithe. I can't give money to God this month because, you know, I have to, you know, pay for whatever it is. They can come up with excuses. People can do that. And so hopefully for us, as we, again, think about living our Christian lifestyle and living these things, you know, how are we doing? Are we trying to make up excuses, you know, so that we don't make our life a little easier? You know, I'm not a morning person, so I'm not going to do devotions in the morning. Yeah, but then at nighttime you don't do it either. Oh, it's too late. I'm too busy. Right? We just kind of make up, you know, reasons for not living as God is. Right? So think about those things. All right. Continuing on. Close out the passage. So Jesus kind of wraps it up, and he says, and he called the people to him again. He said, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that is going into him that can defile him, but the things that come out of a person that defile him. Okay, so he does this thing. Then, when he entered into the house, left the people, the disciples asked him again about what he just said. And he said to them, are you also without understanding? Do you not... I'm just going to read it. I don't know what the passage is. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not into his heart, but in his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declares all food clean. Amen. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within is the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, and all these things come from within. They defile a person. And so Jesus kind of digs down again. He gets back to the heart of the matter, which really is about the heart. Right? That is the heart of the matter. And he comes back to it and he says, for these Pharisees, for these people, they are acting a certain way. They're trying to pretend to be holy, but their heart is far away. Their heart is wrong. This is a little quote by Jeff Stevenson. They were religious, the Pharisees, but they were not godly. Right? Saying the right words, playing by the rules, and doing what others expect is not the essence of Christianity. Right? Just doing these things, just doing good Christian things, praying prayers, giving to God, coming to church, worshiping Him, serving Him. They're great things, but if our heart is not in the right place, then it's all, in a sense, it is pointless, right? Jesus kind of talks about, and He kind of explains what's, again, the Pharisees that ask about cleanliness and unclean, oh, you're eating with unclean hands or whatever it is. And Jesus kind of declares all food clean, which is kind of cool. So, again, back then, the Jews, they had their traditions or laws was, you know, these were unclean food. You can't eat certain foods. And Jesus, in a sense, says, look, everything that you eat, whether it's good or bad, it all comes out the same way, right? It's just going to come out. And so it's not really, again, what is good and bad, right? It's okay. It's okay to eat whatever you want to eat. It's actually good, which is kind of cool. But again, what he's really looking at too, again, digging back, digging deeper, is the heart. Now, where is the heart at? And he points to just how dirty our hearts are, how broken it is. And the whole point of this is the main point. His message, again, when Jesus first started, what was it? Repent, right? Repent, believe. It's time to turn around, right? The fact is, for all of us, our hearts, unfortunately, are sinful. We have broken hearts. We have hearts that have been corrupted by sin, and we do, you know, have these things that are not pleasing to God, and that is really what the issue is, right? We have to look at our hearts. And what I wanted to do is end by having you guys kind of look back again at this list of kind of things that that Jesus is pointing to. And for you guys, take a moment to kind of think about, are any of these things the stuff that, again, is corrupting our hearts, corrupting our lives, right? Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Like, these things are the stuff from within. And maybe there is one, two, three of these things that you struggle with, that you know is not right. And it's a good time for you guys to take a moment to ask God for forgiveness, to repent, right? And to turn away from those things, to really give those things and say, God, I know I'm a sinful person, right? I know my heart, you know, is corrupted, but I give these things over to you, right? Give these things over to you. Our lives are supposed to be kind of a life of worship, you know, to God. And as worship team, you guys can prepare to come up. But as you guys, you know, we live our lives, I hope that we would really get a sense of, hey, that this is, you know, our hearts, our lives, you know, should be worship to God. Right, that everything that we do should be the right heart, right attitude. That we aren't doing it out of pride, right? That we aren't serving God and doing these good, quote-unquote, Christian things just for ourselves to show off how good we are. We aren't doing it just because we have to. It's a habit. It's just a checklist that we have to do, right? But our heart really is worshiping God, and we're really loving God, and we're really chasing after Him, you know. And that is where, you know, hopefully our lives will be. You know, and that we'll look at it, we'll see all the deceitful things, and we'll repent from those things, we'll turn away from those things, and we'll come back and we'll really live for God as He desires us to live for Him. All right? So let me pray. Worship team can come up. We'll do a prayer after that, another responsive prayer. But let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You again just for Your Word. We thank You just for Your reminder of just how much we need You, I think. You know, that's what the law is there for. The law is to remind us of, you know, Your standards and, you know, and how that's the striving. That's what we want to strive for. But unfortunately, we can't. We don't always, you know, we always fall short. But we thank You for Your love and Your grace. We thank You that You do welcome us back when we return, when we repent, when we ask for forgiveness. We thank You that You do forgive us. And so we pray that You would help us to really live a life that is pleasing to You, that we really have a heart that is pure, that is really seeking You, and that, you know, that we would really be, again, good salt and light in this world, that people would see, when they see us, they would see You. And so continue to help us to work through those things so that we can really, yeah, live for You. Thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, pray.